Not enough, my fellow Americans, that anti-Semitism is on the rise again, prevalent the world over and even in our own country, and especially so many of our embarrassing colleges and universities. Not enough. Now comes another wave of anti-Catholic bigotry. Interesting, isn't it? Repulsive to our Constitution and disgusting to our right-thinking citizens. I'm sure you are one. President Trump recently nominated one Amy Coney Barrett, a Notre Dame law professor, to serve on the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Barrett was a graduate of Georgetown Law School, a well-respected professor indeed at Notre Dame, and a serious student and scholar of the law. Barrett's legal and professional qualifications were beyond reproach. But personally, Barrett found herself unfortunately and uncomfortably to be Roman Catholic. Can you imagine that? Roman Catholic in her faith. And for some reason, that fact brought out the prejudice, the anti-Catholicism of members of the Senate panel for the judiciary, namely Senators Dianne Feinstein, Dick Durbin, and Al Franken. Feinstein, in her infinite wisdom, senator from California, of course, stated the following about Amy Coney Barrett. "When you read your speeches," said Feinstein, "the conclusion one draws is that the, you ready for this, the dogma lives loudly within you." Can you believe that? "And that's of concern," Feinstein went on, "when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country. What the heck does that have to do with anything?" Feinstein, whatever her religion is, if any, has determined, again in her infinite wisdom, that dogma lives loudly within Barrett. Of course, this learned senator from San Francisco, representing the once great state of California, how did she ever get elected, by the way? That dogma exists, but nowhere defines it, nowhere. What does she mean by that? The long and short of the matter is that Barrett is a proud and faithful Roman Catholic. I guess Feinstein doesn't like that very much. The doctrine of which church structures her conscience and provides her with a moral foundation which so many simply do not have. That confession of faith in the mind of Feinstein, perhaps anti-faith generally, or perhaps atheist herself, disqualifies Barrett from serving on the Seventh Court of Appeals or perhaps anywhere in political office. Nice lady that Feinstein is. I wonder what kind of dogma lives loudly inside the mind and heart of that senator, don't you? I can guess. And more. Senator Dick Durbin probed Barrett further. This good senator from Illinois, dared to ask Barrett if she considered herself an Orthodox Catholic, with the strong implication that such personal faith would be impermissible and disqualifying. "Are you an Orthodox Catholic?" said Durbin. No matter to Durbin and Feinstein, of course, that the Constitution expressly forbids any kind of religious testing as a qualification for public office. None whatsoever. I wonder if the learned Feinstein and Durbin even knew that prohibition existed in the Constitution. And if they knew, it is obvious they could care less. By the way, let me read you from Article 6 in the Constitution what our great living, working document says about religious testing. Here it is. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. No religious test shall ever be required, Senators Feinstein and Durbin. Does that matter to you? None will be required as a qualification to any office or public trust in the United States. Wow, those two senators are really off the wall, in my opinion. And then there's one more, my friends. There was Senator Al Franken from Minnesota, you know, the raucous old comedian who ran for Senate on a lark some 6 years ago, and to the surprise and shock of millions, was actually elected. Who knows what this learned comic had to say about Barrett and about Catholicism? What a sad and unconstitutional day for America. Anti-Semitic, anti-Catholic, anti-evangelical. Gee whiz, only one is missing, Islam. Islam. Is Islam next? I would ask Messrs. Feinstein, Durbin, and Franken whether or not the faith of a Muslim would disqualify that person for public office. What do you think these learned, objective, and fair-minded senators would say? And yet another example of senatorial witch hunting. Bernie Sanders, you remember him, don't you? The old socialist, many think Marxist, even communist senator who ran for president from the once great state of Vermont, said about Russell Vought, President Trump's nominee to be deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, knowing that Mr. Vought was an evangelical Christian, here's what Sanders had to say about him. You are, Mr. Vought, really not someone who this country is supposed to be about. You are not someone who this country is supposed to be about. Why? Because Mr. Vought was an evangelical Christian. So, let's add the biased, prejudiced, anti-Christian, anti-religious, anti-faith Bernie Sanders to Dick Durbin, Dianne Feinstein, and Al Franken. Whew. Wow, what a quartet. What a foursome. And by the way, this is the very same socialistic senator whose wife the FBI began investigating, that's Jane Sanders, for falsifying documents to obtain a $10 million loan to expand a now-defunct liberal arts college in a town where her husband once served as mayor, while she was the school's president. You haven't heard much about that, though, have you? Frankly, haven't even heard much from the FBI, either. We should. So it seems that evangelicals and Roman Catholics are fair game, persona non grata when it comes to political office, no matter the constitution. What's next? Ah, we left out Judaism. Hey, how about that? If you are Jewish and the dogma of Orthodox Judaism lives loudly within you, you are obviously not qualified for public office now, are you? And of course, if you are Muslim, possessed of the faith of Islam in any sincere or dogmatic way, you are also unqualified for public office. Just ask Feinstein, Durbin, Franken, and Sanders. These senators are so dead darn wrong for America. And those on the Senate Judiciary Panel, among perhaps many others, set themselves up as judges of others, especially when it comes to faith, and especially when perhaps they had none themselves. Don't you really wonder what these four believe, really? This is a sad day for America and for people of faith, don't you think? And if you are one, you better stand up and fight the fight of faith, or day by day, you and all others like you will be ostracized and excluded from public and political service and the political arena. It's happening. But it's happening only because you let it happen. So don't let it happen. Our Constitution guarantees there will be no religious litmus test. We the people can never be forced to choose between our faith and public service. Never. Again, the words of Article 6 of our Constitution, read them. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust. None. Let us say for a moment that this line of questioning might be explained away as merely the ill-considered efforts of a few hyper-partisan Democratic senators, an understatement to be sure, in an attempt to score cheap political points at Barrett's expense. Rogue senators acting individually. But if so, then why does not the Democratic Party, the DNC, and all other right-thinking Democratic senators, and I assume there are some, why don't they decry these actions and the political behaviors of these senators and put them in their place? Why not? Typically Democrat. Get it out there. See what happens. Be protected by the media, by academia, by Hollywood, and deal with the fallout if there is any, and only when it comes. Attack, retreat, and spin. Sounds like Saul Alinsky, does it not? It is to me really tragic to see this once great party, this once great Democratic Party, becoming every day so much more unconstitutional in thinking and practice. They care not for political diversity, but only protecting what one called the sovereign progressive political waters. I like that, don't you? The sovereign progressive political waters. And perhaps it is an attempt on the part of those senators and perhaps others to intimidate people of faith, perhaps especially Roman Catholics, at least in the case of Barrett, and make them reluctant to accept nominations to appointed positions of leadership in government, no matter that they are otherwise eminently qualified, completely qualified to do so. It is the self-appointed judges, the Feinsteins and Frankens and Sanders of the world, who themselves should be judged, and not the prospective Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And more evidence that this Democratic Party may well be becoming constitutionally rotten at the core. DNC Chairman Tom Perez has publicly stated in a bold public assertion that, are you ready for this? Pro-life candidates may no longer find a home in the Democratic Party. Can you believe that? Hey, are you part of the Democratic Party and are you pro-life? You're on your way out, my friend. You are on your way out. Shocking, is it not? I find it shocking. If you are pro-life, which of course means that you are against abortion, at least in some form, you would no longer be welcomed in the Democratic Party. Sad to hear, is it not? Further examples of the unbelievably divided, angrily divided America in which we live. But no matter to the Senate Judiciary Panel and these three rogue senators, Feinstein, Durbin, and Franken, that Barrett long ago recognized the potential conflict with regard to the principles of faith versus the Constitution. Barrett had, long ago, written an article with one John Garvey, then a law professor at Notre Dame, and now president of Catholic University, in which they argued, Garvey and Barrett did, they argued that in some rare but important cases, judges may face an unresolvable clash between the requirements of civil law and the demands of conscience. Garvey and Barrett cited the administering of the death penalty as one example. And in such a legal situation, what then should a Roman Catholic judge do? For this judge, no matter the faith, cannot allow that faith to override the oath the judge took to administer the civil law. As it is, and faithfully, and to the letter of the law, Amy Coney Barrett pledged to uphold the law, to uphold it faithfully in every way, and to execute and administer that law as it is, no matter her faith. In fact, said Barrett, if my faith and my conscience prevent me from so administering the civil law, I will recuse myself from the case and will make no decision on the legal matters at hand. And that, of course, was a fair, honest, and constitutional approach to the matter, and this improper senatorial questioning. Barrett was saying, in essence, what former Supreme Court Justice William J. Brennan, himself a Roman Catholic, said when asked whether his faith might prevent him from abiding by his judicial oath. Justice Brennan said the following, "There isn't any obligation of our faith superior to that. Only the Constitution and the laws of the United States would control my conduct as a jurist." Again, only the Constitution and the laws of the United States would control my conduct as a jurist. And Barrett, she, a strong Roman Catholic, said the same thing. And then, my friends, there was another well-known Catholic justice, my hero, the now-deceased Antonin Scalia. Scalia was a Catholic in whom the dogma lived loudly. But for him, the Constitution and the oath taken by the judge was supreme. And when there was a conflict between matters of faith and civil law, Scalia said the following regarding judicial choices. The choice for the judge who believes that the death penalty or any other law to be immoral is resignation. In short, said Scalia, if you take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rule of law as a judge or justice, you cannot ever or for any reason violate that oath, no matter your conscience. Follow the law, do what it says, or resign. And Barrett said the same thing. But you know, my friends, perhaps the most famous political Roman Catholic politician of all was our very first Catholic president of the United States. You know, the guy in 1960, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. What a man. In Kennedy's famous address to the Houston ministers during that 1960 campaign, President Kennedy declared that if the time should ever come when, quote, my office would require me, said Kennedy, to either violate my conscience or violate the national interest, then I would resign the office. I would resign the office. And I hope, said Kennedy, any conscientious public servant would do the same. Any conscientious public servant would do the same. Well said, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And Professor Barrett would do the very same. In fact, a recusal, withdrawing from the case in a certain kind of lawsuit where morality is deeply involved, is in essence a de facto resignation, at least from that case. And that, of course, would be the right thing to do. Never would or should a right-thinking person of faith ever attempt to impose that faith on others, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or Islam, especially from the judicial bench. Barrett, in fact, stated repeatedly during her Senate hearing that it is never appropriate to do so, and that her religious affiliation and beliefs would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge. Let me read you again Article 6 from our Constitution. Hear the words again. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. No religious test, Franken, Feinstein, Sanders, Durbin, no religious test. Christopher Eisgruber, president of Princeton University, no less, and a legal scholar himself, wrote that the questions addressed to Miss Barrett were inconsistent with the Constitution's prohibition on religious tests for public office. You know, no religious test shall ever be required. Eisgruber confirmed that. And then, at last, rose up John Jenkins, Father John Jenkins, president of the University of Notre Dame, himself not really a conservative, but rose up to deal with this matter. Father Jenkins wrote to Senator Dianne Feinstein, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, who led the assault on M.S. Barrett, as follows. Said Father Jenkins, I write to express my confidence in Barrett's competence and character, and deep concern, Senator Feinstein, at your line of questioning. Deep concern. Barrett, Jenkins reminded Feinstein, was a serious legal scholar, a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, a clerk for Judge Lawrence Silberman of the then United States Court of Appeals, and a clerk for Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, lucky her. She was of impeccable legal credentials. And Jenkins went on to say the following. Your concern, as you expressed it, is that dogma lives loudly in Professor Barrett. And that is a concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country. Jenkins quoted her word for word. And then Jenkins went on to say, I am one. In whose heart dogma lives loudly, as it has for centuries in the lives of many Americans, many of whom have given their lives in service to this great nation. And then President Jenkins of Notre Dame delivered the coup de grace. He said, It is chilling to hear from a United States senator that this might now disqualify someone from service as a federal judge. I ask you and your colleagues to respect those in whom the dogma lives loudly, which, Jenkins reminded Feinstein, is a condition we call faith, Senator Feinstein. Faith. Amen, Father Jenkins, amen. I can only wonder if Feinstein really understood. I mean, what, after all, does this woman really believe? Really is a sad day for people of faith, and especially Roman Catholics. A sad day indeed for all of America. But I do believe Barrett will in fact be confirmed. The Democrats, in their infinite wisdom and passion to ensure the confirmation of Obama's nominees, changed the Senate rules in 2013 so that a simple majority, not 60 senators, a much larger majority, is all that is needed to confirm a judicial nominee. That worked for the Democrats then, but now it has come back to bite them. Virtually every Trump nominee for the court will be confirmed by a simple majority vote of the senators. Thank you, Democrats, for that. And the Republicans are grateful for your breaking that precedent and doing what you felt you had to do for yourselves. And now we can do the same. Kimberly Strassel, an excellent writer for the Wall Street Journal, refers to Senator Dick Durbin, and she states the following about this man and his unconstitutional frame of mind, this senator from Illinois. Said Strassel, quote, Durbin couldn't help admitting what he had been trying to accomplish, a culture of fear. A culture of fear. And that, my fellow Americans, is the ultimate objective of progressives, radicals, socialists, Marxists, and atheists, so many of them under the Democratic Party umbrella, to create a political culture of fear so as to prevent people of faith, and especially in whom the dogma lives loudly, and especially Roman Catholics, to prevent them from applying for or participating in the public and political affairs of this great country. But right-thinking people of faith will have none of it. Will you? Oh, I sure hope not. And I, for one, loudly applaud them for stepping up and serving our country, don't you? In fact, we need more people of faith with character and morality in office rather than less. If indeed the Washington swamp is to be drained, if it really is to be drained, then politics should be bathed in fresh water, with fresh thinking, with fresh and unafraid people of faith, in my opinion, as so many of our founding fathers were. And those people of faith can restore our once great Constitution and our rule of law and the respect and dignity for the legal and political foundations of this great country. Oh, my fellow Americans, let us hope that Professor Barrett is not intimidated and will not resign. Let us hope that this person of faith, in whom the Catholic dogma lives loudly, will persevere and, of course, be approved by a right-thinking majority of Republican senators and maybe even a handful of Democratic senators. That might be kind of shocking, but that might happen. Amy Comey Barrett is more than qualified and more than right for the job. Were I on that Senate Judiciary Committee, I would absolutely vote for her confirmation. Would not you?